Thank you, Brother and Sister Martin. I love that song. My wife wanted to know if I had requested that, and I didn't, but the Lord just knew that we needed it. We're going to be looking at John chapter 10 tonight, but before we stand for the reading of the Word, just a thank you, first of all, to the Lord for allowing us to be here tonight and giving us good health. Thanks to the pastor for allowing us to stand in this very sacred place. Thanks to the congregation for being gracious to come and listen and to pray for a good service together. I thank you for your prayers and your concern for us. My, you're just so good to us. I was telling somebody the other day, it was so blessed this year, I thought I was going to have to take out a bank loan to pay my tithes on all of the gift cards we got. It was good, and I appreciate it. And then your prayers for last week, talked to the doctors and nurses and so forth, and everything's fine.
Amen.
No side effects. Seriously, yeah. Doctor said I can do anything I feel like doing that my wife will let me. So that's kind of hems it in and regulates it. But it is good to be up and about and able to stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel once again. Let's open our Bibles and stand and read from John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Hold your place there. We'll be looking at the rest of the parable as the message. Lord, we do thank you for the reading of your word. We pray now that we might understand it, and then give us grace to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. And it is good to have our guests with us tonight, and the folks that used to be members here, Fairchild, some of you remember them, same church from in Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska. And I was beginning to tell them, and I got sidetracked. Brother Fairchild had called and asked me to work with a fellow that he had met, and he's in jail, and I've been ministering to him a little bit now and then, and it's quite interesting, but it's a joy to be able to work with other Christian people in that capacity as well. Jesus is the shepherd. The shepherd. I will have something to say at the end of the message. If you young men will take a note and write down the four things tonight, I guarantee you, if you'll search them out, and they will be a tremendous blessing to you in the days to come. It's a whole series of messages right from this very thought. In verse 6 of this chapter, it's called a parable. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then he elaborates on it. This illustration is a parable. Now, it is given in response to the conversation that just concluded in chapter 9. Remember, chapter 9 was the healing of the blind man. Unusual in that God used an entire chapter to relate the occasion, the incident, the healing, and all of the different people that were brought into being, the different categories of people, the people in the synagogue, the parents of the man, the Pharisees and scribes, and the man himself. He went, He washed, and then he worshiped. They ask at the end of that, are we blind? They had to ask. They were. He used that as a symbol or an illustration of spiritual blindness. That was the whole point of his healing the blind man. It made it plain that the Pharisees needed spiritual sight, and they didn't get the picture. The blind man had received both physical sight and then spiritual sight. Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he that I might believe on him? He said, you have both seen him and talked with him. He said, Lord, I believe.
Amen.
And he worshiped him. And so, in this case, as is usually normal, if a person is guilty, they're going to try to shift the blame. Like the fellow that asked the Lord, what's the great commandment? And Jesus told him what it was. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, who's my neighbor? And he got another lesson as to who his neighbor was. And so they were trying to make excuses. And so Jesus uses this very wonderful illustration, this parable about sheep and the sheepfold and the shepherd, to illustrate their spiritual need. Now, in Israel in those days, this was a very common thing. Jesus uses common things to illustrate spiritual truths. Sheepfolds were very common outside most villages. There was an enclosure where every evening, or at least occasionally, the shepherds would bring the flocks in from the field, and they would put them in this common fold. And then one of them would lay across the door, the opening. He was called the porter. No one could go in or go out without his knowledge. No animal could come in. No person could come in. And so he is the porter. Our shepherd is Jesus. And he gives us this wonderful illustration. When it's time to lead the sheep out the next day, or whenever they were going out, the porter would move out of the way. The shepherds would begin calling their sheep by name. I just love to picture that in my mind. Here you got seven or eight different men, all different qualities of voice. And here's this herd of sheep. Have you ever had anything to do with sheep? One time in my life, and that was all I needed. I won't get sidetracked to give you the illustration, but I understand a little bit more now about sheep at this point in my life. But the shepherd would begin calling their names. This would come over here and follow this guy, and another would come and follow him. This would follow that one. They all knew the voice of their shepherd. And he would lead them out to the various pastures. How many of you of us know Psalm 23, at least the first part of it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. He restoreth my soul. As the psalmist wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. So our Lord elaborates on the illustration. He makes it so plain that they could not help but understand. He said, this is a parable. A parable is an earthly, physical object or situation that is always in the realm of possibility, if not actually happening, with a spiritual application, a spiritual meaning. And so, think about it now. Israel is the flock. The enclosure is the law of Moses. The covenant relationship. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Luke 24:44. We had to memorize that verse first year in Bible school. And I would try to say it tonight, but I'd probably foul it up since I just said that. But he said, I came to fulfill all things which are written of me in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, and in the prophets of the Psalms concerning me. He came to fulfill the law. He came and took the law out of the way and nailing it to his cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Israel, and especially the Pharisees, based all of their hope, based all of their faith in the keeping of the law. They thought they were going to be saved by keeping the law. As a matter of fact, our pastor related to us just a few Sundays ago that they had also added to some 800 different laws and really bore down on the people to keep all of these trivial things. And that's why they had so much trouble with Jesus on the Sabbath day. They had totally misapplied all the meaning of the Sabbath day. And I just love it when Jesus puts the screws to him. He says, is it right to do good on the Sabbath day or evil? And they were going to complain, and he'd say, now, which of you has an animal that you don't take to water on the Sabbath? Well, sure they did. He said, well, a human being is more valuable than an animal. So the Jews just constantly were trying to keep the law to get saved. No one has ever been saved by keeping the law, because the law was to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the sacrificial lamb for them. Very simple. Jesus had said again in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If they had just studied the scriptures, they could have seen that it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They worship the law by keeping the law that they might be saved, but it didn't work. They were not saved. They were still blind. So Jesus the shepherd had entered the sheepfold and seeks to lead Israel out of the bondage of the law into his marvelous grace. He took them out of the enclosure of the law into the enclosure of grace. They still didn't get it. But then Jesus added a couple of things I think is very precious. Just mention one thing. Down in verse 16. Oh, I like this part, because this is us. And other sheep I have. That's the Gentiles. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, in verses 7 through 16, Jesus elaborates on the parable. Let's notice some things in the parable. First of all, down in verse 7 and verse 9. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. Let me just throw this little tidbit in. You'll find it interesting in your Bible study and your Bible reading. I find the Bible numerics a very interesting and challenging subject. Number 2 is the number of witness. Wherever you find the number 2, it is to affirm something. You'll notice when many times in his teaching, Jesus would say, verily, verily, truly, truly, this is his witness, it is true. And so he says here, I am the door. Twice. Verse 11a and 14a. I am the good shepherd. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. It verifies it. It gives verity to that which he is saying. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. Don't you just love it? Jesus is the shepherd. I'm the door, he says. If you're going to enter into my grace, you've got to come through me. Amen. To me, it's amusing and yet a little disconcerting. Of all the religions in the world, and they're arguing about their way is going to get them into God's heaven. Now, wait a minute. It's God's heaven, and he has the only right to say who can come and how they can come in. And they can have their own heaven, and it's going to be his hell. I'm glad I'm included in going to heaven. Verse 8, Jesus becomes very personal. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, going to follow the wrong one. Going to listen to the Savior. Anyone who seeks to lead men to God by any other way, they're not to hear it. I'm glad that we heard the truth, that it was made known unto us, and that we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He says they're thieves and robbers. They want to rob Christ of his glory. They want to rob Jesus of his rightful place. He stood as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. How dare they try to change God's eternal plan? That would be the Jewish leaders who kept trying to lead people to the kingdom of heaven through the law rather than through his grace. Now, verse 9 again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. No probability, no limitation. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That doesn't mean he's going to go in and out of grace. That means God is going to provide all his need. Don't you just love John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How about John chapter 3 and verse 36? You know that one? I believe John the Baptist is speaking. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 5. And verse 24, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that, what? Heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath temporary life, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In the parable, Jesus exposes the motives. Some seek to climb over the wall. They refuse to enter the door. They want to try their own way. Maybe they're trying to get the sheep to fleece them. I say unto you, there's a lot of sheep being fleeced today in congregations across America. Some sheep are stolen and taken away for meat. We're warned of that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, Because your adversary, the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants followers, the devil does. And he can't have you to follow him as a Christian, but he can destroy your testimony. He can rob you of your happiness. He can rob you of your testimony. I said that. He can rob you of your joy. So many want to get into God's heaven by their own merits, their own part works and part grace. It really bothers me. I have, as you know, a rather large family. And by the time you add and all of us in the main family now are getting older. There was seven of us, or six now. And we've all got kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And so there's probably between 80 and 100 of us. And I'm sorry to say that some are in other religious groups. One is a missionary to Africa. And we get their letter, and I do not pray for their success. I pray that they would come to the truth. But every month they report their baptisms. Never how many souls profess Christ as Savior. That breaks my heart. I fear that many of them are not born again, that many of them are deluded and disillusioned and thinking that, well, I've been baptized by this particular person, so I'm okay. No, you're not okay until you've been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood only. It's not part water, it's not part baptism and part blood. No, it's all Jesus or none at all. It's very simple. And so, verses 9 and 10. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Out of the old covenant into the new covenant. Out from underneath the law into the covenant of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Back up in verse 3, he said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He's talking about the shepherd. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Jesus is the shepherd that leads out of the old and into the new. Now, let's look down to verses 16 through 18. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. As I said, that just blows my mind. God commanded the Son to give his life and then to take it up again. And he did that for us. We are included. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This means that he died for our sin. I haven't quite got it figured out yet, but I believe it. How that shepherd became the sacrificial lamb to become our shepherd eternally. He leads us to the sacrifice that he made. The shepherd gave his life for our sins. In these verses, he explains the process. He explains the procedure, how he will do it. He'll be crucified. He'll lay his life down. He'll be buried, and he'll take it up again. He'll rise from the dead. Well, let's think for just a moment. Surely there are some practical applications that we can make from this, something here for each of us. First of all, anyone can be freed from the law of sin and from the law of death and be in God's grace and forgiven and be saved, be redeemed. And when you're saved, you're a sheep. I love it. We used to sing a little song. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Anybody know that song? I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. For they're just not fair, you see. I just want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. For they're just not fair, you see. I just want to be a sheep. They're always sad, you see. I just want to be a sheep. Verses 3 and 4. Are you a child of God? Born again by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is Jesus your shepherd? The Bible says his sheep hear his voice. Amen. May be a problem here. How often do we sit in a worship service and God gives our pastor, and I praise God for him and his insights and his dedication to the study of the word and his ability to preach the word. Man, I just love it. And God gives our pastor a magnanimous sermon and he preaches it with passion and conviction. And you can know that the Holy Spirit is among us and upon us and within us, and we're stirred and we're moved, but we don't change. The invitation is given and there's no response. My sheep hear my voice. We pray that we can hear from heaven. May we ask God tonight for grace that in every case, every time we hear a gospel message, every time we hear a Bible message, that we'll listen for that which God has just for me. I thought about that. And I thought of some instances in my life. Time for confession. Confession's good for the soul. We had some great preachers come to our men's retreat. I loved what God did with us through that thing, and I'm glad it's taking the course that it is now. I don't have to add it up anymore, but I love those years that God gave us. We'd have these guys come in and they would preach, and we were trying to do our best and we put forth every effort to have a good men's retreat, and I would come away just as empty as a bucket. And I couldn't figure out why. I was so interested in getting everybody else fed, I wasn't listening to what God had for me. I had to repent of that. His sheep follow him as long as it's going to the pasture that we want to go to. As long as he leads us to the stream of our choice. I'm afraid that so many times we Christians pray, Lord, bless me in what I'm about to do. That deacon come to me one time. He said, Brother Britton, he said, I know that you're not going to like this. I thought, what in the world is he fixing to tell me? We had seen the man and his family saved from a world of sin, and we had seen them discipled, and they'd become soul winners and Sunday school teachers. As a matter of fact, at this particular time, he was also our church treasurer. And he said, well, I've already asked God to forgive me. That's a dangerous thing. He says, we're going to go out of town this weekend and we won't be here Sunday. Well, that was a relief. I thought it was something horrible. That he was going to buy a lotto ticket or something. I hope that none of you here have been guilty of that. Lord help you. Shame on you if you bought a ticket. I don't care what the allurement is. It's not worth it to defy God. At any rate, we're talking about following the Lord. His sheep follow him. He is leading. May we lead. May we follow where he leads. There's a grand old song, "Where he leads me, I will follow." How many times do we, I think it was Brother Paul said one time, or somebody said, how many of us sing a lie? Let's sing the truth. And where he leads me, I will follow. Do the truth. His sheep follow him. Verse 10, the last part of verse 10, it says that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What do you think of? What is your thought when you hear the word abundant life? Abundant life. I don't think that it's talking about stuff. Cars and houses and boats and vacations and things. I believe he says something about that in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Brother Martin preached in this chapter just not long ago. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When we think of abundant life, let's think of God's abundant grace that enables us to actually do what he wants us to do, to accomplish that which he has designed us to accomplish. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 8. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, might abound to every good work. And so abundant life, his abundant grace, lets us accomplish abundant things for his glory. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, abundant love. But I like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. An entire chapter given to the resurrection. How powerful it is. And he concludes the chapter with this verse. Therefore, in view of all that has been established and all that has been proclaimed in the preceding verses, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking to the Christians, he's talking to saved people, he's talking to us. Be ye steadfast. This is abundant life. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, unshakable in your faith, unshakable in your loyalty, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love it. In Hebrews 13 and 20, the Bible speaks of the great shepherd of the sheep. It is he, the great shepherd, who enables us to do abundantly above all that he asks or think. He does it and provides it for us. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, when the chief shepherd shall come, he'll have his rewards according to his values to give every person as their work shall be. So, young people, jot these things down if you would. Shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. Good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The great shepherd died and was buried and rose again, and it is he, the living Savior, who lives within us and enables us to accomplish his will in our lives. And then that chief shepherd will come one day to receive all of his sheep and reward them by his grace according to their faithfulness and their abundance by which they have served him. Lord, we thank you for time in your word. We trust that it's been a blessing to your people. Thank you, Lord, for the guests who are among us tonight. We thank you for strengthening each of us. Bless our pastor and his wife as they attend this very important meeting. Fill them with your love and your goodness and bring them back to us safely. Dismiss us now into your care until we meet on Saturday. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember,